Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff Mom Never Told You from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Caroline.
And Caroline, spring has sprung. Mm-hmm. It is now April and it's time for spring cleaning, right?
Yeah, get all that pollen off your car.
Do you do the spring cleaning thing?
It depends. If I'm bored, yeah. But I usually am too busy to think about it. I do think about it.
That's good.
I don't tend to do it, though.
Well, we're talking about whether women are cleaner than men, and you have a male roommate, your dude roommate.
My dude roommate.
And you talked to me about how you guys do have some differences in your cleaning approach.
Yeah, dude roommate is super neat. He gets mad if I leave shoes or purses in the living room, but he's not clean as in cleaning dishes, spraying down counters, vacuuming. I'm the opposite. Clutter, I'm naturally a bit of a clutter bug, which I can handle, but I can't stomach a dirty kitchen, for instance.
Mm-hmm. Now, if he can see, though, a pile of dishes in the sink, does that not mess with his neatness?
Well, see, the thing is, dude roommate doesn't cook very much, so there's never quite a stack. It'll be just like a pot that sits low in the sink, so it's not in his field of vision necessarily.
That makes a lot of sense. Well, we're gonna get into more about the differences in how, you know, women and men are clean or not clean, and we're looking mostly at hygiene kind of stuff, and I think that we could agree that the general assumption is that women are cleaner than men, right?
Yeah.
Men have the whole thing like, oh, they're just these messy guys, they're boys, they're dirty. You know, in childhood, there's a whole thing of how girls are made of sugar, spice, and all things nice. Mm-hmm. Boys are snip snails and puppy dog tails.
I don't know, though. If you've ever been to a public restroom, I don't think you could argue that women are necessarily cleaner than men.
That's true. But as far as the standards of cleanliness, what people tend to expect clean-wise out of boys and girls, there was a study that came out of Oregon State University by Sharon Clough, who's a philosopher. And she talks about how the standards of cleanliness are generally higher for girls, even by the age of 5. And it has a lot to do with differences such as girls being dressed in dresses, whereas boys are in more rough and tumble cargo shorts or denim pants. Denim pant, a jean. And she talks about how these gendered norms of cleanliness go back to 19th century U.S. and British schoolyards, where physical cleanliness was really taught in school as a form of morality. And for girls especially, that emphasis on physical hygiene extended to how they carried themselves and presented their bodies. The whole cleanliness is next to godliness and the whole virtuous woman thing, protecting themselves. So Chloe would say that from the earliest age, girls are acculturated to be cleaner
right.
than boys.
I don't know if that would necessarily apply to me. I don't know. The longer we do this podcast together, the more I think my childhood was very strange and atypical for girls. I did wear a lot of dresses because my mother, like, would still want to dress me in smock dresses if she could. But so I always knew to change out of the dress and go outside and play. But when my parents built their house, they didn't finish off the backyard for years and years. So it was just like this huge mound of Georgia red clay.
Mm-hmm.
And I would slide down it on my butt in my cute pink shorts. And my mother would yell at me and I'm like, whatever. I like the mud.
Sassy little Caroline.
I know, shaking my finger like, whatever, Sally.
Yeah, I was a mix of both of those. On the one hand, wearing lots of dresses. But then as I got a little bit older, I wanted to be more tomboyish and play with my older brother.
Yeah.
And get messy mm-hmm. and stuff. So maybe it is more of an age thing. But the question of are, you know, women cleaner than men is looking more into our patterns of cleanliness in adulthood. Because for me, I have lived with guys and girls, and I gotta tell you, Caroline, the guys have been cleaner.
Oh yeah?
Overall. Women can be very messy.
We can be. What's up with that?
What is up? Maybe it's all of the things that we have, which we'll talk about with, like, office spaces.
Yeah, we do have a lot of things. That's, yeah, oh, yeah. That's why my closet is such a terrible disaster. But Chloe, you know, ties in her theories about gender and cleanliness to the hygiene hypothesis. Kristen, do we want to get into this now? We don't want to confuse anybody. It's kind of a long, drawn-out hypothesis. But basically, the general idea of the hygiene hypothesis is that a lack of childhood exposure to germs could be responsible for adult allergies and diseases. Basically, the idea that if the immune system isn't busy fighting off germs, it shifts to developing more allergic tendencies. So, you know, your immune system gets bored, and it's like, what can I attack? Let's go for peanuts.
Yeah, and some researchers think that this is responsible for increased rates in things like asthma.
Right.
And essentially, you know, we hear about it a lot. Like, the question of whether or not, like, children today especially are so sanitized
mm-hmm.
that we are leaving their immune systems defenseless towards germs. Like,
right.
Let them go outside and get dirty.
Yeah, and so Chloe's theory in her paper is basically that girls have it worse because we are expected from a young age to be cleaner and, you know, more prim and proper than boys are, that we are exposed to fewer germs and fewer contaminants. And so we end up growing up to be a whole mess of allergic, asthmatic, and autoimmune disorder-ridden people.
And may I please briefly talk about cooties?
Oh, yeah, sure. Ew. Do you have them?
I don't know. I got my circle, circle, dot, dot immunization a couple of years ago when
okay.
I got my tetanus. So
you should probably get a boost. You're due for a booster.
I probably do need a booster. But in Chloe's paper that she published in the journal Social Science and Medicine, she cited how sociologists have actually studied the cooties phenomenon and so-called pollution rituals that take place generally among kids between 6 and 9 years old. So we're getting a little bit older, and she talks about how girls are far more likely than boys to be associated with cooties and be ostracized as carriers of cooties.
Gosh. Cootie carriers.
Well, and she links that to the whole hygiene hypothesis and the greater expectation for girls to be clean because, you know, we're from a young age, we're told that, you know, we might even have this thing called cooties and to stay away because we're just covered in girl germ.
Did you ever make the paper? Well, okay, see, that's the thing. Everybody calls them fortune tellers, but at my school, we called them cootie catchers.
The thing where with the flaps and you put your fingers in it. Yeah,
and you open it and I wish people could see my hands.
Our hands are doing the, yeah, some flapping.
But we would
movements.
Use it like a beak to pick cooties off of our arms.
Oh, well, again, there is a bit of a socialization gap with my home school. I didn't.
Well, when I tell people cootie catchers, they think I'm weird. So, don't worry about it. I think most people call them fortune tellers.
We can be weird together.
Okay.
Then. Great. Well, let's talk about physical cleanliness though in adults because I think we've established that overall, at least expectation wise,
right.
Girls cleaner than boys.
Yeah.
But as we grow up, what happens when we're left to our own devices? Is it the same?
Well, yes and no. I think men are cleaner in some regards and women are cleaner in others. There was a survey performed by Cutica Hand Wash in 2012 that showed that men are becoming more obsessive about hygiene. That might be strong language. Obsessive might be a little strong. But basically, the survey in the UK goes against what a lot of other studies have said in recent years, mainly that there's no big difference in how much we wash our hands, brush our teeth, and clean our sheets. The survey said that both men and women wash their hands 10 times a day and change their sheets every 3 weeks or so, which makes me want to puke. Seriously, every 3 weeks? Am I the only one who changes my sheets every week?
I don't change my sheets every week.
Well, I'm not sleeping over anytime soon. It's fine.
Some surveys even find that men might wash their hair more than women, but I'm going to go ahead and say that that is not a hygiene thing. That is a hairstyling thing.
Yeah.
Because women are told to not, it's actually better for your hair to not wash your hair
every
day.
Yeah, spoiler, I color my hair and red fades the fastest, so I only wash my hair like once or twice a week.
But do you change your sheets more than you wash your hair?
About the same.
I like that. That's a great stat. There was another UK survey among 1,000 college students looking at that whole changing of the sheets thing. And it also indicated that male students might be changing their sheets more. 80% of them change their sheets at least once a month, with more than 20% washing them once a week, mm-hmm. meeting the Caroline standard.
Hey.
Whereas the female students wash their sheets about every 2 months, which is surprising.
I would say, ladies, what's wrong? But I remember, I mean, freshman year of college, I barely changed my sheets either. Maybe once a month. I was there with the guys changing my sheets
once
a month.
Yeah. But with the whole underwear thing, no big surprise here that women change their underwear more often than men do.
Yeah, 42, this is back to the Cuticura survey, 42% of men admitted to wearing the same pair of underpants more than once without washing them. And this was often. For women, this was just 23%. And I would like to take this time to point out that according to a Keeping It Clean, that's K-L-E-E-N, infographic that Kristen and I found that's great, comparing cleanliness and hygiene between the genders, they said that poop just doesn't come off, people. You need to, like, really sterilize that if you're going to be wearing... You can get up to a gram of poop in your underwear if you don't wash them.
Yeah, I was so excited / disgusted by that fact that I tweeted it. Once I ran across it, and I also texted it out of context to my boyfriend, who was then very confused and asked if everything was okay.
Well, okay, so it's not just underwear and sheets that we have to worry about. Let's talk about our actual physical selves. An American Society of Microbiology study in 2005 found that women's hands tend to be cleaner than men's. And how did they find this? Did they go up to people and swipe their hands? No, they just plain old spied on them in the bathroom.
Yeah, Harris Interactive polling watched over 6,028 adults, mm-hmm. to be precise, just lingering in bathrooms, waiting to see if you're going to wash
putting
your hands.
Putting on powder for 9 hours.
Yeah. And they found that women wash their hands a lot more often than men. And this is in public restrooms. And Caroline, the worst hygiene, unfortunately, was found for both men and women at Atlanta's Turner Field, home of the Braves, in our hometown.
Represent.
37% of men and 16% of women left the bathroom without washing.
Yeah.
But what about all the ketchup and mustard from hot dogs?
Hey, these people are drinking a couple expensive beers and they want to get back out there to their expensive seats with their expensive hot dogs watching the expensive game.
That's true.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise, all things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
The biggest gender disparity was at New York's Penn Station, where 64% of men and 92% of women wash their hands. Best hygiene? What up, San Francisco and Chicago? San Francisco's Ferry Terminal Farmers Market and Chicago's Museum of Science and Industry and Shedd Aquarium. Oh, that's a long name. Were places where only 12% of people left the restroom without washing their hands.
But when it comes to self-reporting, also not so surprisingly, when Harris Interactive went back and just called a sample of 1,000 adults, they reported washing their hands far more often than the numbers would imply of the people who were, you know, scouting out actual hand washing instances. But the good news is, hand washing is getting better. And it might seem like, oh, this is hand washing. Does it really make that big of a difference? Yes, it does make a massive difference in terms of disease prevention, just the basic thing of washing your hands.
And I mean, I've heard people argue, when I say people, I mean boys. I've heard boys argue that, well, it's not like, I mean, I'm touching a whole lot of stuff in the bathroom when I'm in there. They're getting, and I'm like, no, think about all the stuff you're touching before you go to the bathroom. Don't you want to wash all that stuff off? Anyway, yeah. So, you know, we're not perfect, but we're getting better. And the American Society of Microbiology followed up, and in 2010, they went back to the same places. Kristen, Turner Field was still the dirtiest.
Except for the women. 98% of the women.
Yes, it was still the worst for men.
Yeah.
Sorry. 35% of men at Turner Field in Atlanta did not wash their hands, but 98% of the women observed did. That is commitment, because those lines can get crazy.
Yeah, they can.
But the most likely place for men to wash their hands, still the Chicago Museum. Mentioned 88% of men.
Maybe intellectual types pay better attention to hand hygiene.
Yeah, I don't know, but they were very happy to report, and I'm happy to read it, that the 2010 study found that about 85% of people altogether wash their hands, which is a jump from 77% in 2007 and 68% in 1996.
And I bet that does have to do with more public health awareness in terms of washing your hands, the benefits of washing your hands, and disease prevention, and
sure,
all
cause
of that.
Sure, because we've had a couple of animal-related flus that have circulated. Swine flu, bird flu.
Zebra flu.
Giraffe flu all over the place.
Yeah. But when we do wash, there, some researchers think that our motivations, and by our, I mean men versus women, might differ. And this is coming out of the American Journal of Public Health in October of 2009. And what the researchers did was put up these flashing pro-hand washing messages in front of, in a public restroom, in front of the soap dispenser. And it would change every time to see, you know, for a different tack. So some of the messages were more disgust oriented, such as, don't take the loo with you, wash with soap, or soap it off or eat it later.
Yeah. There were other ones that were related purely to, being informative, which was, water doesn't kill germs, soap does. They found that men really responded to the disgust messages, whereas women were more likely to wash their hands if they were armed with knowledge. One that performed well for both, I'm going to let Kristen read it, is one tied to social norms.
Is the person next to you washing with soap? That was just a solid up talk right there. Add that. And that makes sense because, you know, it is calling you out. It's a little bit of a public shaming if you're not washing your hands. But the thing is, though, in post interviews, when the researchers would wait outside the bathroom and say, "Hey, gal, did you wash your hands? Yeah. Did you see that message? Not really." So they weren't really sure whether or not it just happened to be a pro-disgust message.
Maybe it's subliminal.
Yeah, maybe it was something more subliminal. And I did a little bit more digging on this whole disgust aspect of hygiene because there is a ton of research out there on the emotion of disgust, how it differs for men and women, our sensitivity to that, and how it's linked to things like not only hygiene, but also morality, sexuality, etc. And there are some studies that would suggest that disgust sensitivity is higher among women, mm-hmm. which would contradict this study finding that don't take the loo with you is more effective for men.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Either way, I think I would buy the whole thing that the social norm thing of, hey, you know, you're gross if you're not washing your hands because everybody else is doing it.
Yeah.
Would be effective.
Yeah. Now, what about teeth? I, for one, am a bad flosser. I'm going to go ahead and admit that. I feel like I'm in a safe space to talk about it.
Yeah, I'm a bad flosser, too.
I try, but really it's mainly just after I eat popcorn. An American Dental Association study in 2004 found that more Americans are saying now that they brush their teeth after every meal, but women still outpace men. A quarter of respondents in the survey said they brush their teeth after every meal, more than twice the number reported 6 years earlier. So we're making strides. Congratulations, everyone.
Yeah, and women, though, are still more likely to have a regular dentist, get their checkups more often. Men will tend to go years between dental checkups. Women are also more likely to brush twice a day. So there's a bit of an oral hygiene gender gap still there.
What's up with people who only brush their teeth once a day?
Maybe it is a time thing. I don't know. I'm really not sure.
Just like I change my sheets once a week, Kristen, I brush my teeth twice a day. I'm looking at all of you very disappointed.
But let's take it to the workplace, because you know what place is teeming with germs? Your desk.
Ew.
Yes. Clorox company has sponsored a number of studies, not so surprisingly. I feel like I've said not so surprisingly like 25 times in this podcast, by the way.
Not so surprisingly.
I know. But Clorox has sponsored a number of studies on germs and our cleaning habits. And one of these studies, which was conducted by University of Arizona professor Charles Gerba in 2007, it found that women's desks harbor 3 to 4 times the number of bacteria than men's desks. And this was looking at more than 100 offices around New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, D.C., Oregon, and the University of Arizona campus. And Gerba attributes this to women having more interactions with small children, keeping food and makeup at the desk as well. And even though our desks might be neater, they are dirtier, largely because of the food and the makeup.
Yeah, cosmetics, hand lotions, and food are microorganism magnets. The worst offender overall, though, was men's wallets, because they're in that warm back pocket that just serves as an incubator for bacteria. But not so fast, ladies. You're not off the hook either. Most handbags have tens of thousands of bacteria on them. Just to let you know, bacteria levels of 200 are considered safe. But don't worry, men's wallets are 4 times dirtier than that.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and say that maybe I have very low disgust sensitivity in terms of pathogen disgust.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it doesn't bother me. Our bodies are teeming with bacteria.
Sure. Sure. But just don't put your purse down on the bathroom floor or anything.
That is a good point.
But one thing to keep in mind, I mean, it's not hopeless. Don't worry. 25% fewer bacteria were found on desktops that were regularly sanitized. So keep those antibacterial wipes around, or sprays, whatever you feel like using. I have a huge, like, industrial size canister of of wipes? Because I feel like people get sick all the time at work.
Well, that is, sick building syndrome is a thing. And researchers have attributed it to bad habits, like people not cleaning their desks. Yeah. And speaking of women and food in the desk, Charles Gerba, that University of Arizona professor, said something along the lines of, if the apocalypse ever happened, he would immediately just rush to a women's workspace because of the amount of food that we keep stowed away in our desks.
I don't have any food at the moment. I usually keep some granola bars, but those are sealed up.
Yeah, I don't have anything. Just utensils. Which, when you're hungry, the most depressing thing to do is open your drawer and only see utensils that right. could be used for food that's not there.
Your imaginary hook food, like when they had the in the movie Hook. Anyway, but the opposite was true, interestingly enough, in a plus one study, May 2012, performed by Scott Kelly, who's a biology professor at San Diego State University. He looked at 90 offices in New York, San Francisco, and Tucson, and found that men's offices, not women, had up to 20% more bacteria. So basically, just be aware, people, that your workspace is gross, particularly if you eat at your desk. You want to just clean that sucker off maybe once a week or once every other week.
Yeah, that San Diego State University study got a ton of press. And, like, thinking about all the stuff of, you know, like, oh, well, men have 20% more. Oh, but handbags are so gross. All this mm-hmm. stuff. I feel like it all kind of comes out in the wash. Pun. There, because I don't know. I don't know that that kind of gender difference matters that much. It's more of an overall message of saying, you know what, just maybe we should keep our spaces a little bit cleaner. But once we leave work finally and we go home, who is doing a majority of that housework? We've talked about it mm-hmm. in podcasts before, so we're not going to spend a ton of time on it, but it's the women.
Yeah, we as women are more likely to do more housework more often.
Well, we should say that is in a male-female
right,
combo
right.
household.
Yes. And that's also in the Caroline and Dude Roommate household also. Not that we fight about it or anything, But yeah, so we referenced that Keeping It Clean infographic earlier. According to the research they did for that, men are less likely to do some housework every day. Not in general, just every day. And that's 20% of men versus 49% of women. But when they do clean the house, it's more thorough.
Yeah, and the whole thing about men maybe waiting longer to clean the house, but when they do it really, really, really well, reminded me of a recent article that was published in The Atlantic by Alexandra Brander, who's a philosophy professor out at the University of Kentucky. And she was talking about potential reasons why men might do less housework than women mm-hmm. in heterosexual marriages. And she highlighted three major theories. One is the epistemic hypothesis, which is basically men didn't see their dads modeling this household cleaning behavior, so they're not going to do it. Motivational hypothesis, which would be house cleaning or running errands is an unjustifiable time cost. So, which reminds me of, like, you know, they might not do it every day, but when they do it, they're going to do it really, really well mm-hmm. to make it worth it.
Right.
And one of the reasons why the motivational hypothesis is compelling is because sometimes women, and I've been guilty of this as well, not just with male, but also female roommates, women will come behind and sort of sweep up behind them or even redo what they did. For instance, with me.
Uh-huh.
I'm a stickler about dishwashers.
Yes, you are.
I am. I'm very good at loading it, and I feel like you should not waste space. And I have been known, much to roommate's chagrin, to come behind them
oh, yeah.
and reload the dishwasher.
I do that behind Dude Roommate all the time. Are you kidding? I imagine you might have the same thought when you open the dishwasher after a roommate, boyfriend, whoever has loaded it. You look at it and you're like, in what way did this make sense in your brain? Because things are like spread out over the entire dishwasher. And you're like, no. The plates go here. Spoons are over here. Cups are obviously on the top to the right.
Yeah. And it ties totally into that motivational hypothesis, because man or woman, if that's going on, you would say, you know what? you're going to do the dishes because you're just going to do them anyway, whether I load the dishwasher or not. And interestingly, that's something that Facebook COO Sheryl Sandberg has brought up for, you know, women who are married to men, saying, you know what, if you want to split the household chores 50-50, you need to let them do that 50. Because I think women sometimes unnecessarily kind of buy into the whole acculturation of women being the chore doers, the maids essentially around the house, and whether we are conscious of it or not, and take on more than we really have to. And it kind of continues that whole epistemic thing, the motivational thing. And then there's also the third the hypothesis Brander highlighted at The Atlantic is the structural hypothesis, saying that basically the modern workplace doesn't afford men the time to do it. Like, if they would if they could. Which I don't think.
I mean, I feel like that, though. You know, like, I guess what can be frustrating about my roommate being such a neat freak is that I'll get home and he'll resent me for throwing my purse on the floor or something like that, but neither one of us has time to deal with it. So we end up over the course of the week building up these teeny tiny resentments until one of us finally cleans. Because we're both busy. We both work.
But as we pointed out, too, in other podcasts, this issue of the division of the household chores, not such a divisive issue with same-sex couples. Because there aren't those, you know, those gendered norms of, you know, women clean and men
mow the lawn.
Where, you know, it's kind of like you find your strength and you stick to it. Like, for you and I, we should probably do the dishes.
Yeah.
Whereas if someone wants to do the laundry, have at it. That is not my favorite thing in the world to do.
I feel like laundry is such instant gratification, but I really won't get into all of that. Because I really, I mean, I could talk about chores forever.
But once we circle back around, though, to the household cleanliness, you start to see that a lot of the patterns that we have in adulthood do trace back to those childhood gendered norms that start out with the assumption that, oh, you know what, girls, you need to be cleaner than boys. You know, in appearance-wise, down to neatness and cleanness.
Yep.
So the question of whether or not women are cleaner than men, I think the answer is no, because there might be expectations, but you and I both know plenty of clean men, and I know plenty of dirty women.
Yeah.
Like, I have had some female roommates whom I love dearly, but spaghetti bowls were kept in bedside tables.
Oh, yeah. I won't even get into any stories about women that I have lived with who have destroyed spaces that we shared. Anyway.
So maybe it would be a good thing for all of us if we abandoned that gendered notion that women are the cleaner sex. And just all start pitching in.
And everybody wash your hands.
And I'm really never going to touch a male wallet again, because those things are germy.
A male wallet.
So I will be curious, though, to hear from listeners on this one, especially folks with roommates out there, because cleanliness is such a big factor, I think, for room. I mean, the number one thing I can think of with having roommates, like whenever fights would come up, it was about cleanliness.
Yeah.
And that was it. It was about the dishwasher.
Yeah. If I could just live by myself in a silent, cluttery but clean apartment with a nice dishwasher, I'd be happy.
Paradise?
Yeah.
That does sound pretty nice. Well, listeners, let us know your thoughts on whether men or women are cleaner. I know you've got them. Send them our way. MomStuffAtDiscovery.com is our email address. You can also hit us up on Facebook as well.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands. Not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
And now back to our letters.
I have one here, Kristen, from Jenna. This is about our pole dancing episode. She says, you talked about pole dancing in the latest episode, and I just wanted to say that I think it's a very empowered thing to do, to tell those who would scoff at your independence and strength as a woman that they're wrong. So all the double standards and morality aside, I think that means a lot. It's very admirable. I look up to strong women like that personally. So thank you for the perspective, Jenna.
Well, I've got an email here from Tina, and it's about her daughter, who's 5 years old, and she's the youngest of four. She has three older brothers, ages 9, 13, and 16. And she writes, my daughter, since she could speak, has described herself as, quote, a girl and a boy, and will explain that she likes girl stuff and boy stuff. She is as comfortable in the two-day-old clothes playing in the dirt as she is in a princess dress with lipstick and a tiara. It's unnerving to some people, such as my mom, when she calls herself a boy and a girl, even though they have no issue with her acting like, quote-unquote, one of the boys, and they try to encourage her to use the word tomboy instead. My husband and I have always let her describe herself however she wants, and we tell her that she can be whatever she wants, whenever she wants, and to try not to draw attention to the labels. She starts kindergarten this year, and I'm curious to see if the new pressures will change the way she describes herself. And she does note that her daughter has been in daycare, so it's even with that kind of socialization, she still does the I'm a girl and a boy.
That's cute.
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of interesting. So, thanks to Tina and everybody else for writing in to momstuff@discovery.com. You can also, of course, find us on Facebook, where we do lots of fun things during the week. You can follow us on Twitter at momstuffpodcast and on Tumblr as well at stuffmomnevertoldyou.tumblr.com. And as always, if you'd like to get smarter this week, you can head to our website. It's howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.